It's time for Advice Line. Call now at 800-866-8883. That's 800-866-8883. Here's your host, Roy Masters.
Well, where are you? I know where David is. He's on the other side of the microphone, 30
right
miles
here.
Away. All right, welcome, David.
Thank you, Master.
Do you think of the last show? Was it too much me talking or what?
Oh, I think people are... I think they're intimidated by...
Why should they be intimidated by
your accuracy? That's what it is.
I know, but that's the...
You know, it must be startling for a person to be listening and actually not have to have the talk show host ask person's questions without, you know, needing to probe them in order to give
yes.
them the answer. That's
yes,
pretty intimidating
true.
If you ask me.
Well, you see, people, with all due respects, my dear audience, but you're not an individual, but... Not even I'm an individual unless I'm inwardly motivated. I mean, to the degree that you're inwardly motivated to the years of practice of so doing, do you become a fully formed, inwardly formed, an informed person? And then we got the word inform, and really when we get to school and get informed, we're actually becoming outformed. And so we have to, here we're now... change the subject a little bit to this, the meaning of language. So I know that how when people call, they talk about love and things like that. I know they don't know the meaning of love. Otherwise, if they knew the meaning of love, they would not apply it so. And having applied it so, become completely entangled with madness. Because love isn't madness. It's only the misunderstanding of how we tend to selfishly observe it. Or interpret it. I guess we have to live a life of selfishly interpreting things like information. When I was at school, you couldn't inform me. You'd hold up something and I'd learn it, or I'd appreciate it, and I'd hear it and understand it, and that was it. And I don't know if I may compare myself with Einstein, but he was the same way. He wouldn't listen to anyone. He just pursued whatever he was put here for. And he didn't know that himself at the time. And when I was in school, I didn't know, but you couldn't. The sergeant I know I'm jumping a little bit, but in the military, the sergeant couldn't make me jump. He couldn't outform me. He couldn't program me. Couldn't do it. I frustrated that poor fellow to no end. I did. What I was told, I stop at a traffic light. I don't stop out of reaction, but I stop because I agree with the principle. So I'm in the army. I'm in agreement with obeying the commander-in-chief and the sergeant, who's authorized. Otherwise, we wouldn't have an army. We have to have discipline. I agree with that discipline, but I don't have to be broken down and built up again. And in school, going back to school, I was never informed. But a lot of people think they're very informed and have degrees. And with those degrees, they are respected. But then we don't understand the nature of respect, do we? Because all we do is have a template for our own egos to follow. Some glorious template, some person who's got a poet laureate, whatever, honorarium, and we follow, and we learn, and we study, and we imitate, and we draw identity from that. And we're inspired. Oh, there's the other word. See, instead of being inspired, we're being outspired. Inspirational speaker. The worst person, one of the worst people on earth is an inspirational speaker. But again, the meaning of the word is missing. You're being outspired when you're being inspired. Inspired is what you hear me on this program saying. Inspired, it comes from within. I jump from subject to subject, but I'm on topic. You can't catch me being confusing. You may be confused. You may not be able to hear what I'm saying. But if you put everything I say together, just let it go through one ear and come out the other, I'm only saying one thing all the time. See, you misunderstand words. You might say, this person's mean. No. See, this person is too strong. No, there's wrong strong and right strong. There's good love, right love, and wrong kind of love. Oh, we've got to look into all this. There's inspiration. That's not inspiration. When your preacher inspires you, he's killing you. He's killing your soul. You don't take inspiration from me either. All I want you to do is hear what I have to say and say, oh, that makes sense. I never thought of that before. Yes, I have thought of it before, but I didn't pay much attention to it. See, with reasons that are to follow. We'll be right back.
The foundation of human understanding teaches an observation exercise, often called meditation, which permits you to become objective toward your problems and allows your heartaches, bad habits, fears, and anxieties to be completely eliminated from your life without effort on your part. Until you have begun to practice this exercise, much of what you see and hear on the following program may be shocking and upsetting to you. But if you will listen calmly and with an open mind, you may discover the key to the peace of mind and joy for which you've been searching all of your life. And now, from the foundation of human understanding, here is Roy Masters.
Okay, welcome, David. Welcome, audience.
Thank you.
I'm Roy Masters. Some people call this program, I have to be very strong with them, David. Because otherwise they play with me. And when a person calls for the first time about something, I have to speak in principles and not necessarily about all the little details of their problems, because I have to do my best to show them that there is an underlying truth or lie, an underlying fault, and endeavor to express that in very simple terms, what sin is. If you ask the average person what sin is, they can't tell you. If you ask the preacher what sin is, alcohol, and sin is drugs, sin is this and that, sin is illicit sex. There are all kinds of, you can sin, you can sin by lusting after a woman in your head, blah, blah, blah. But they don't know what sin really is. It's a separation from God. And it's not necessarily by inclination, it's by trauma. Very often, good people are driven to kill themselves, like with the various soldiers coming back from the war, 6,000 a year. And I want to cry every time I say it. And 6,000 soldiers every year kill themselves because they bring the enemy home with them. There's a good folks, good young men and women, go to the war, give their lives for you. And because it's right and noble to do, some not, of course. But they bring home the enemy, and they're driven by a force they don't understand so severely that in order to avoid hurting their loved ones, they kill themselves, see? So you see, they bring the enemy home, and the enemy is making them do what it wants them to do. And it's true on a domestic basis. When you have been hurt, when you are broken in childhood, when the schools, teachers do what they do in schools, God help them, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They destroy the soul, hearts and minds of the children and convert it over to the dark side of the force. The landscape of the world that I live in, the democracy I live in, the republic, you know, the democratic republic I live in, is a far cry from the one I came to. We old folks are dying away, so we remember when things were more noble. We didn't have as much, but we were more noble, a lot thinner, and more hardy, and better Americans, better Englishmen. But something's gone very wrong, and that wrong is sin. It's made a home in us, and it lives in us. And not with such severity that will drive you to kill yourself at first, like with the soldiers that come home from Iraq, places like that. But it makes you depressed. So you have all the symptoms, symptoms that accelerate as one adds anger and frustration to anger and frustration and so on and so forth. It multiplies with the struggle, the endless loop of thoughts. And so we are all driven in a way that is counterintuitive. And so what we're trying to do on this program is to awaken all of you listening to the fact that you are emotionally driven and ought not be so. And that if being emotionally driven, you to the degree that you are, you cannot be true to yourself or any person. There's no good come from it. Women more than men tend to be emotional, but women have the power to draw men into their emotions with them, into their realm with them, when it should be the other way around. Men should learn to draw women away from their emotional state, to think like men. Whatever that means, this is up for discussion. 866-8883. 866-8883. Are we going to have one of those evenings where David and I talk to each other? We had the first hour, it was pretty neat. And I was hoping the second hour would be the same way. The first hour, we spoke about being too fair by guilt. Is anybody, maybe we can set the program on fire a little bit, light a fire under it, as they say, by talking about a subject like, are you too fair? I mean, are you too responsible? Super responsible. To a fault. Yes or no? Do you see that it's self-destructive? Yes or no? We did a lot on that subject in the first hour. If you want to call in and tell on yourself. Now look, there are two kinds of callers, three kinds. One, I have to get rid of. They play with me. But they don't get many of those. Two, those who want sympathy. Can't give you sympathy, but I try to talk them out of that and show them that sympathy is not good for them, but it's hard truth. Simple, straight from the shoulder, and no holds barred, with authenticity, with authority, with the full force of really knowing. And this is considered to our sinful public, our decadent public, as cruelty. David, give me. You said something about, I remember now, it falls into place, about an email you sent me about, oh, a boy being on Oprah's show or something. What was that?
Let me see.
About
here.
Kissing, never kissed a girl.
No, was actually, this was, you know, you're familiar with American Idol, where they
vote
for their favorite rock star.
Yeah, it wasn't Oprah, then it wasn't Oprah.
No, it was on American Idol. It says here they were auditioning in Dallas, Texas, and a young man named Bruce Dickinson came on and auditioned. And it says when
the
19-year-old from Texas was asked to share something about himself, he said he'd never kissed a girl.
Yeah.
What? Said Randy Jackson. He's one of the judges. On purpose, he says? On purpose, Dickinson says.
Yeah.
I want to save everything for that one special woman on my wedding day. That will be my first kiss, Jackson.
What a sweet man. Sweet man.
So the judge, Randy Jackson, his advice to Dickinson, asked the judges to send him packing. They sent him away. He says, go kiss some girls. And then later on, Dickinson said that he had not been dissuaded from his decision to remain celibate until marriage, even if people make fun of that decision. He said, I respect women, and I don't think of them as sexual objects, and I'm the freak?
Yes.
He said.
That's a man I'd like to meet. That's the kind of man.
I'll tell you a little bit more. He said, Dickinson is the second oldest of six children. Said his parents were high school sweethearts. He said that divorce and other problems in their extended family led the Dickinson to challenge their children to practice abstinence. It wasn't anything they forced on us, Dickinson said. It was something they talked to us about, something they taught us the importance of.
Beautiful.
Sweet kid. And
you know what? And so you do see that it's a counter shock of truth that in this society is not welcome. That's why the lines right now are quiet. That because people are hearing me speak what their conscience is trying to say. Have you ever heard in 47 years anyone argue with me on my program? And the answer is no. It's not that we, right now, the lines are empty. Nobody's attempting to call and saying, Mr. Masters, I beg to disagree with you on this subject, sin or information or whatever I'm saying, anger, whatever it is. I think anger is a healthy thing, and you can do good things with it. Okay. No one will dare. They just cringe or receive it with joy. I would prefer, but it's a shock. Now, the truth, when it's spoken with authenticity, and it is truth, and right to the point, the way we do it on the show, the way I happen to do it on the show, right to the point, no mercy, is looked upon or frowned upon as being cruel. Because people can't differentiate between the cruelty that made them that way, and they even twisted them and degraded them, then the truth, which is also painful, that is redeeming. It's a redeeming pain. And those who are not ready will be cringe and have hostility towards me. But I warn you, think better of it before you continue in this path. I warn you, this is a shock program, but not intentional shock. It is, I speak to you, as I have done for 47 years, and do now in the later years of my life better than I've done before, because I've got nothing to lose and everything to gain. You see what I mean? Meaning, I'm good at what I do, if I may say so. And I like what I do. And I know that it hurts, and that I know I should be hated for that hurt. But I warn you, do not indulge that. It's bad enough that you should hate a person who really hurts you and harms you, rather than the person who's telling you what you should see for yourself, but you haven't.
By the way, we do have a call.
Okay, we'll take our call.
From New York, a question regarding being too responsible. I think it's a good call.
Okay, that's good. Okay, let's go ahead now. Hello. Mark. Hello, Mark.
Hi, Roy. This is Mark. I was at your July 4th seminar. I was one of the three attorneys that was there.
Oh, yes, I remember you, of course.
And
how are you doing? Didn't you call me a little while ago?
I called you
a couple of weeks. I did. I remember you have called me before.
I spoke to you briefly when I was there over the salad bar, and you observed, or at least in asking me about myself, you said I was too responsible, and I really didn't know how to take it then. And when you brought it up tonight,
yes,
I've been thinking about this for a long time, and I haven't come to any resolution or any real understanding about that. And I wonder if you could talk.
It's extremely subtle. It's extreme. I was talking to my grandchild about that. I have my son is super responsibility. He's a super dynamic person. He's CEO of the company and all the rest of it, but he's always being too fair. He's always making allowances in a different way than is spiritually correct. In other words, in order to make sure that he gives the proper leeway to everyone, but he goes too far, leans too far in making sure he's fair enough. The result is that someone takes advantage of him, and it's irritating. And then he gets upset, but secretly a little bit. And then the upset makes him guilty, but he doesn't understand the guilt. But all that upset does is make him more responsible, because he thinks he hasn't done it right enough or enough for that person. So he tries to prove to the person that they shouldn't be this way, and that he does more right by them. When it's a vicious cycle. So do you see that resentment separates you from the the responsibility to, how can I say that? That we're all born, let me take another shot at it. We're all born, all of us good folks, are born with values and morals, all there complete. All we need is a validating source in our parents and peers. It doesn't turn out to be that way, but as people put responsibilities on us, for example, a young child, 14, 12 years old, is left with siblings and mother, father walk out, and she has no alternative but to take care of what she can't take care of, and the kids, siblings are mean, and they want their mom and not this older sister or older brother, and he's having one hell of a time, and he's resentful, but the more resentful he is, the more responsible he feels. Because the sense of responsibility gets perverted by the emotion of resentment. Resentment reverses, it perverts, it pollutes. It's just like discernment. And then we go to another one. Let's just move away from it and come back to it. Discernment is the ability to see clearly the things which are good or bad, and to withhold a judgment, meaning a decision whether the person is guilty or not as attorney. But if you are in the middle, not angry, not too willing to believe that the person is innocent and is okay and try to help him all you can when he may be guilty all along and is just stringing you along, you'll never know the difference. But if you cannot be either extreme, and anger makes you go to extremes, you're either too much, or at the other end of it, you've done so much for people, you get so tired of doing it, so hateful, that you go the opposite direction, you become irresponsible. Mm-hmm. So when you put pressure on people, they become super responsible or irresponsible. And some people, when they're irresponsible, can't even hold a job because they respond to a good boss the same way as they respond to a bad one. So you've got to be very careful about this thing called resentment. Resentment is poison. It takes all of your emotions, all your devotions, all that is noble, and twists them towards bringing you trouble. You to serve the worst in people, while thinking that you're doing them well, and wondering why things are not turning out the way they should. You do too much. You're too responsible. Right. A woman once said, I love too much, that's what's the matter with me. I said, madam, if you loved at all, there'll be nothing to matter with you, because loving never it knows the limit. It knows what is too much and too little.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't have resentment as I once did. I have it less and less.
Then you should be more and more balanced in your responsibility.
I think it's something that I've held on to so tightly. That's so part of my identity that I can't even imagine not being overly responsible. And you
but
know,
you, but it, that's, but it's out. Not good. But it's no, but don't you see? It's but look. You see, it's become part of you, but still. It, since it's become part of you, it's layer by layer by layer by thousands of layers, by thousands, doing that thousands of times, it's become engraved in stone. You've become, what they call those, petrified wood. It looks like wood, but it isn't wood. It's identical, but it's stone all the way through. You are losing your human identity by holding on to a lie that you have love. That you are responsible. Of course you have responsibility, but you're not responsible to God. You're only responsible to seeing that you did it right and get the credit for it so you don't have to feel so guilty. But it's the cause of making you guilty.
Well, I have another question related to that, if I could.
Does that make sense?
It does. And there's something else that I've been wondering
Okay. Let's see if it ties up.
Either you or David recommended the movie Billy Budd a while back.
Yeah, great show. Great movie.
I watched it, and it really impacted me. And I so admired the way the young guy was able to speak truth from his heart. And it didn't seem filtered. And I think part of my hyper-responsibility is that when it comes time to respond to something, I have to filter it through all these different channels.
But that's the mistake.
I'm concerned about my reputation or how I might appear.
Oh, yes.
Like I'm a million miles away from Billy Budd, but, you know, I have such an appreciation for the purity of his heart that, I feel I'm moving in the right direction.
But guess what his mistake was? Didn't he have a little stutter? Remember in the movie he had a little bit of a stutter?
Had a little what?
A little stutter. He was a little sort of hesitant. He didn't speak well. Remember, if I remember the movie.
That was the impediment.
Impediment, you see. And so that impediment wasn't an impediment so much as that he had a problem of repressing anger, and he really tried to be the very best human being he could be, but he was so good at it, but he wasn't good enough. And here's the point: he wasn't good enough. He didn't have the spiritual fortitude because he wasn't tutored properly yet. But he had it all on his own to carry him a certain distance. But until he got written, but was it the boatswain or the one that teased him so much? It's a long time since I've seen the movie. The boatswain or what do they call him, Mark, David?
He was like the sergeant at arms.
The sergeant at arms. I like that. That's sort of what he was. He despised his innocence. He was embarrassed by it. He detested it. It reminded him what he wasn't. He determined to put it out. And finally, Birdie Bud lost it and hit him, and the guy falls down, knocks his head, and he dies. And I don't remember when I saw the movie for the first time, there was a little twinkle in the eye of the man, the sergeant at arms, as he died. He says, finally got him to be angry.
Right.
See that? And then he pays for it with his life, doesn't he, Billy Budd? And all the sailors, all the people that loved him had to hang him.
Right.
You see? So there's makes a point about the resentment where you break, and in that one moment, your whole life falls apart. But you've had lots of, but in your life, you've had lots of resentments, but you've built a false facade around yourself.
Yeah.
So you've compensated, in other words. You're a compensator. And that has to go away. And Jesus spoke to, I always bring up this same one because it's such a magnificent example. The rich man comes to him and says, every night I'm talking about the same thing, but forgive me, it applies a little differently here, but still the same in many ways. He says, what do I do to enter the kingdom? He says, Jesus says, the commandments. He says, man says, yes, I do them since a child. What else do I have to do? He says, then give your money away and follow me. And he couldn't. Why? His whole identity was built around how people saw him. Now, there's a certain Jewish person on the radio. What's his name on Salem program? He's a Jewish rabbi. What's his name? David, you know who I'm talking about.
Botok.
No. It's a man who's been on the air for a long time. He is very nice.
Sorry, I don't know all the Jews that are on the air.
Yeah, but he's a rabbi, and I had him on my program many years ago. We still have, I think we have a copy of the program twice.
No idea.
We had a brilliant conversation, wonderful conversation. And his idea of Judaism is that you do a mitzvah, you do the right thing, and never mind the motive behind it. It's the good that's important. Now, I say it's better to be good than bad, but I said it's more important to do the right thing for the right reason, because then you bring forth the light of truth. You do it with humility. You don't glory in it. Like the rich man who went away sad because he had a lot of money, his whole life was built upon how people saw him. So do you, Mark. Your life is built upon how people see you. But I assure you, that beautiful life that you've built, which is kind of phony and filtered, as you say, and very carefully structured, won't go away. It'll just be taken over by a purpose-driven life, as they said. Like the centurion who was very subject to Caesar, but was able fully to take commands from Jesus with respect to healing his servant. See, so your skills are still there as a lawyer. That doesn't change. Only the driving force is different. So don't worry about falling apart. You won't. All right, we'll be right back.
Hi, it's David Masters. Are you the kind of person that lets other people get under your skin?
I'm calling the police right now because I'm not doing anything wrong. You people are the ones that are doing something wrong.
Do you overreact to otherwise manageable situations?
You want to irritate somebody?
Are you like a volcano waiting to explode?
Your family might get killed. It's not a game.
There's something at the root of stress, fear, and pain, and that something is anger. What we experience as headaches, fatigue, and a multitude of pains we experience as symptoms of anger. Addiction, compulsive habits, all have their roots in the subtlest unseen angers. To understand the true nature of anger, I recommend the Anger Management Package. 3 CDs or audio tapes, plus the Be Still and Know CD. To order, call 1-800-877-3227 or go to FHU.com and order the Anger Management Package.
Going to hell! It's not a game!
$50 includes postage and handling.
Stop!
Don't touch me.
To order, call 1-800-877-3227.
Oh, hello, everyone. Well, I do hope you're enjoying this discussion. Maybe I come on a little bit strong sometimes, but if the bugle makes the uncertain cry, who will ready for battle? So I'm ready for battle in time with the dark side of you. We all have a dark side, you see. One that gets angry when you hear what I have to say. And the part of you that receives it with joy. That is the good side. That's what will make you well. That's the beginning of wellness, actually. So, please call my office. I missed my commercials here where I ask you to call the office 866 Radio Roy. Office 866 Radio Roy. And the website, Foundation of Human Understanding, but just FHU will do. FHU. .com actually, but just put FHU.com and you get it. And you can download for free and burn yourself a CD, which is different from the military one. There's more on theirs. Military people should go to PatriotOutreach.com where no donations are requested whatsoever or even implied. We do imply a donation at some time in the future, if not today or tomorrow or next year. But if it works and it gives you value and it changes your life for the better and on a continuing basis, then you support us. And why do you support us? So we can help Patriot Outreach and the military so they don't have to kill themselves at the rate of 6,000 a year. I'm a military contractor now and I wait my orders. But one of these days I'd like to see the ranch. Tall Timber Ranch, we have enough to, we can hold about 50, 60 soldiers, patriots, veterans. We'll be able to keep them there for maybe a week or a few days, whatever, and see if we can't change their lives, to alter the course of their lives. And this is what I think my purpose should be for the rest of my life. And bringing forth a reason to get electricity from gravity. By the way, if you have a copy of what you have now, it's a year old. I've been working another year on it, and it's now a different manuscript, which is much more detailed and much more comprehensible. Okay, so we will replace that when the time comes. I'll sound the bugle. And we'll send you, let us know, and you've been listening, or we'll just send it out to you, a new, brand new copy.
You're listening to Advice Live with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
Okay, we're going to go to Michael in Portland, and David's on the line with you, Michael, so you can address your question to both of us if you like.
Oh, okay. I love your program, by the way. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
There has been 3 times in my life, once at 16, once at 32, and just recently when I turned like 41. All 3 times have been alone, you know, just kind of listening to nature kind of thing. I've had this distinct impression, you know, don't know where it came from, but that A, I'm a really good person, and B, that there's something fantastic in my future, and I'm trying to figure out what direction to go to achieve this.
Well, if you're so great and wonderful, why don't you know?
Because I'm just human, that's why.
I don't know. Tell me, it says on the screen you have overwhelming sense of greatness. What? I hope that's not written as it sounds. Or
It's just an overwhelming impression that...
Of maybe using the wrong words.
Yeah.
Could you be using the wrong words? Because I sense you're a decent fellow and you're not sort of arrogant and puffed up.
No, definitely not.
No, no. In other words, you've got a sense of a content, a quiet content with the direction you're going, but you don't know where that is, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know where I'm going next. I can say, I'd like to be able to use the ranch to house 50, 60 soldiers, but I don't know if that's going to happen. That's what I'd like, but what happens is another thing, maybe something better ahead. I'd like to do that, and perhaps that's a good kind of like, that's a good thought. I mean, the thought came to me, and that's a nice idea, but I won't make it happen. See, I won't try to make it happen. I've never tried to make anything happen in my life. Don't remember trying to figure out what I want to do with my life. And my mother gave me a great answer. When I said, Mom, I'm getting bored. What can I do? She said, go play with your big toe. That's a silly answer, but why can she tell me? How can she tell me what to do with my life, right? Nobody can tell. Nobody. You don't even know it yourself. That's okay. You don't have to. Rest assured that if you don't learn not to respond emotionally to pressures and cruelty and with anger and hostility or puff up with pride, when people praise you, those two are very dangerous things. You see what happened to Britney Spears when she's all puffed up with everybody loving her. She goes mad. She doesn't know how to deal with it. But the dictators, like despots, like Saddam Hussein, will feed on it. They will want more and more from you. They can't get enough of the wonderful stuff. The smell of death is in the air when that happens. But so if you could just learn the center path, that you don't get an emotion of high of any kind, whether it comes from anger, high, or high, you see what I mean?
Right.
People praising you and looking for approval and love and you puffing up. Because I can remember the first time I got high. I can tell, I don't remember what I was doing, but I had made something and it was quite good. And I stepped back and puffed up and I got a terrible headache. Right there and then. And that was enough for me. It didn't say all the things I'm saying now, but it was enough learning for me. Something in me, I stood up and hit my head on something. I got so big, I swole up so high that I hit my head on God. See, as a metaphor.
Yeah.
And so,
that would hurt.
But that was enough to teach me. I didn't have to go any further than that. And then when I got married, I hadn't never felt resentment towards anyone. Not that I can remember, and anything like that. But when I got married, I was tied to a person, and I suddenly discovered I was getting sensitive to the material things around me. The world around me began to irritate me. Then I said, that's what's doing it. It's resentment. It's sensitive. See, I'm able to connect the dots very quickly. So my sense of worth, right in that moment when I puffed up, I said, why did I feel so much pain when I puffed up like that? I didn't actually use those exact words. I don't remember what it was. It was just something that it taught me something, and it stayed with me. Because, as I said, truth is like a little tiny seed. It's with you all the time, and if you're very observant, every little thing teaches you something. I can remember looking at my manager in my diamond cutting factory. I just looked at his face and I saw him do something very selfish, and I said, that's what it looks like on him. I had the same feeling of selfishness. I didn't have to learn to be selfish. I know what selfishness is, but I saw it in the face of that man, and therefore I recognized it as myself, and that was enough for me. See how quickly you can learn. So
yeah.
The ability is to recognize the moment. So, but there's thousands of little moments that you recognize, and some of them are really quite not important. The old saying, helping a lady across the street, whatever it is. You just do naturally the right thing for the right reason. You don't allow yourself to get distracted by anger or puffed up with pride. If people praise you as a holy person, say thank you. Don't get uplifted. If they degrade you in any way, don't be dismayed. Don't get upset. Walk the middle path. When you walk the middle path, everything, all the things that happen through you, through the good of that you do, naturally, without looking for an outcome. Naturally, this is how you look at it. Why would anyone do any different? You don't see any different. You don't see a left and you don't see a right. You see straight ahead. See that?
Exactly.
And so when other people say, why did you do that? Silly. You think, well, I don't understand why this. Why would I do it? Well, why wouldn't you? So there it is. So in your life, it's like that. So you don't even know that you're good. It doesn't have any feeling. Goodness doesn't have a feeling. But it doesn't even feel normal. You don't know. You don't know what normal is. It's just you're alive, and you know it's like a. I don't know. It's just hard to explain when you. It's not that you've blocked up feeling because you're so emotional. You're afraid to feel. It's like a ballerina floating across the stage. You don't know where you get your energy from. You don't know where the good is coming from, and even the bad doesn't deter you. You go through it.
Cool.
It doesn't scar you. So even the bad works together for good.
Yeah.
If it, you see that? So try be careful of trying to figure things out. There's no need to. If you're doing things well, your life will work out as it will. I'm sitting here because I followed the straight path. Not all the time, but 99 and 9/10%, I learned my lessons very quickly early.
Okay. Well, actually, the instances I mentioned at the start of our conversation has actually kept me on the straight path.
Good for you. But don't get. Remember the rule. Don't if. If any man, woman, praise you, say, what a handsome man you are. I often say, my son says about himself, he says, I have a terminal disease. I said, what's the matter, son? He says, I'm terminally handsome. And there's no cure for it. He says, because he's a little overweight, he says, so the only cure is eating a little bit. You can rationalize anything. All right. All right, we've got to go now. Thank you. Let's see. Have to have a little laugh once in a while. Ladies and gentlemen, please, if I've moved you in any way, please God, I have, you can go to the website and download Be Still and Know. With the military outreach, I think it's coping strategies. They have a different name. It's a different CD. But perhaps we'll put the same CDs with, you know, Be Still No name on it for the civilians with the extra, what do they call it? Well, it's a composite of CD and MP3. So there's much more on it, such as fear, pain and stress and calls. This is all for the military, but we don't have that yet for us. You can get those things separately by donating for it. But the meditation is free. That basic meditation, it basically is all you need for the most part. But if you need more, then fear, pain, and stress, I recommend. All right? And then you can read the books online, and if you want a copy for yourself, Be Still and Know, and all the other books, you can order them. Or it's cheaper to order them than, you know, waste printing paper on it, but never mind, it's up there in case for people who live overseas. Not easy, just people can't afford it. If they can just get to a computer, they afford a little bit of paper. It's better than sending books across the ocean. And they can download the CD in Iraq in Egypt, anywhere in the world. So it's kind of neat, wonderful way of distributing the magic that we have to offer here. All right? The magic is in you. It's not in me. It's in me for me. And so if you recognize it in me, then in a roundabout way, you've embraced it in yourself, you see. All right, we're going to go to our caller. I know we're coming to a break in a minute, but we'll go to Christy in Los Angeles. Hello.
Hello, Roy.
Hello, Christy.
Yes, the calls prior may have answered some of my questions, but I thought I would ask anyway because I always hesitate thinking that I should already have figured it out from your former quest.
Well, you actually don't. I don't want you to figure anything out. I just want you to see it. You see, there's a difference between figuring it out. If you try to figure it out, you never will.
Right.
You know, the mind, the monkey brain, if you'll excuse me by saying this, we have a monkey brain. And in other words, if a monkey had our consciousness, it'd probably do just as well with a little bit of brain because we only use 10% of it anyway. You know what I mean?
Yes. So, I'm aware of the fact that I'm too sensitive because I pick up everybody's vibes and read their undercurrents.
I don't get upset. But I just watch. I'm a reader. I quietly watch and wait my time.
Yes, and I've learned this from listening to you. But at the same time, if this accumulates too much internally, then it develops.
The reason why you can do it, you can't do it, and I can, is what's accumulating is rage.
Rage. Okay.
Resentment turns into rage when you. Resentment is a little flash. It's a flash of irritation. It's very unique to humans. I don't think a monkey could be resentful. It could be angry and chatter and make a lot of noise and come at you fiercely and a gorilla beating his chest. But a human being can look at somebody and make a judgment. You see, I saw a man come out of my house with my camera and I went up to say, hello, excuse me, it's my camera, you know. He said, hello, Mr. Masters. I said, I could have made a judgment thinking he was stealing it. But my son sent him in there to get it. He's right near the beach, you see? Uh-huh. So you never know what's behind anything, so you've got to be careful about making judgments. But even if the thing is bad, if the person is mean, you still don't add hate to what you see. You endure it patiently. You haven't done that. You haven't learned. You've got too many judgments. That is impure discernments. I'll talk to you after the break. Judgment is an impure, tainted with resentment discernment. Discernment is spiritual. You see it. Add resentment to it. Got a judgment. You're poisoned. We'll be right back. Seems to me I just gave a commercial a little while ago, but there must have been times flying by again. It's going to be Friday pretty soon. I know it. I just know it. 866-8883. That's a number to call the foundation. No, excuse me. This program, 9 to midnight West Coast time. Thank you very much. And if you want to call the Foundation of Human Understanding, it's in the West Coast. 866 Radio Roy. 866 Radio Roy. The website is fhu.com. And look for Be Still and Know to Break the Habit. How can I put it? Humanly speaking, your animal nature is up against other animals, but with a dark spirit. I mean, people who inflict harm on you, who take their frustration out on you, are driven. They're animals driven by a force that animals don't possess. I can understand crocodiles and lions and tigers, that's their nature. Not human to be mean and cruel and to want to degrade and upset and poke fun, you know, and knock down to build up. So it's not natural, and people do it. And they can do a lot of harm with their mouth and their mind and their looks. And it's not them. We're dealing with another force that drives them and infected them a long time ago to infect you. Sort of create a copy of themselves, see? And that's why societies disintegrate and all buried under the sands of time. But there's a deliverance from that. And if you become very quiet and walk the narrow path between, so that when you're not upset, you don't have to be too nice to try to make up for your guilt or get so frustrated you do something stupid, and then be nice, or never be nice at all, just knocking other people down so that you feel superior. You know how it goes? If you can just walk the narrow path, so it's not emotion one way or the other. And so but you might say, well, if you don't have emotion, how do you live? Ah, there's another way. There's a center path that has its own energy, and it doesn't require, it can't be moved from that. And you get well. You get well very, very quickly. That's what we're going to teach the veterans. That's what the veterans will learn when they go to their own website, patriotoutreach.org. Ours is fhu.com, foundationofhumanunderstanding.com. All right, we'll be right back.
Listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
We have so short a time. So, Christy, I think the point is made. You just have to learn the difference between you and me is that you get upset. You see things, but you get upset about what you see. You can't tell what I'm thinking. I can tell what other people are thinking. Just like every predator, I'm not a predator, but predators know what you're thinking. They read your emotions. You radiate it. I can read your emotions. I get to the point of knowing almost exactly what you're thinking. And so I can see people's intents nearly all the time, not always, but nearly always. And when I don't see it, it doesn't hurt me because they just do their thing and it backfires on them. So I, in a manner of speaking, I have complete control all the time because you can't control me, I control you. And the only way you can survive me controlling you is to stop messing with me. See, because I don't have to do anything. All I have to do is not react to your attempt to bring me down, lower to your level or to other person's level. And you haven't learned that. You've allowed yourself to become upset and lose. You start to play the game. You start to build up anger, and you get more sensitive, and more sensitive you are, the more you see it, the more it upsets you, and it builds up inside you, and it's very harmful.
Yeah.
No good comes from it.
And then I'm also not productive in my life.
You're not protected. You cannot bring forth any good. You're too busy, you know, being guarded and seeing the injustice in the world and getting upset by it and getting tangled up with your own anger and turning it upon yourself and not wanting to turn it on others. It's got to go somewhere. It's got to turn it inwards and repress it down, and it becomes illness. Sooner or later, you get ill.
So okay. I meditate, and I'm trying to see this, and when you say it, it seems so clear. It's like I'm vigilantly trying to be aware.
No. See, the trying to be aware is the wrong combination of words. It means you don't understand what I'm saying yet. Be still, and you will be given the gift of seeing. It's a gift. Jesus said they hear, but they do not understand. They see, but do not perceive. There's two ways of looking at things and hearing things. One thing part is missing in you right now. You're only hearing my words, and you think I'm urging you to be calm and try to be aware. You can't try to be aware. You could want to be awakened from your nightmare. You're immersed in a nightmare. We all are to some degree, lost in a loop of thoughts like Alice through the looking glass or down the rabbit hole. So if you get quiet and your intent is to cross the border from one side to the other, because I'm talking to you on the wrong side of it. You're on the other side of the fence.
Yeah.
You're outside the cookie shop, and you can smell all the cookies and the baking inside. And your nose is pressed against the glass, but there's something in the way.
Yeah.
I want to open the door in your head, so that something will come through as nourishment.
Yeah.
See, right now you can just smell it, but you can't partake of it. So if you just understand that in no way can you try to make yourself conscious, you know, and be, as long as you're emotional, you're forever caught up. I've given a good example of that. A guy goes on the beach, and he's walking, he loves the beach, it's a beautiful evening, and then he cuts himself on a big piece of glass, and it's a really big mess, and he gets very angry. So months go by, and he goes, but now he's been conditioned. This time he's conditioned, he loves the beach, but he's got to be vigilant. He's got to now watch out for people. He's had enough trouble. It's not going to happen again. While he's looking out for pieces of glass, he puts his foot in the hole and he breaks his ankle. Now he's got two things to watch out for if he's going to go on the beach. And pretty soon he's watching out for so many things, he can't see anything.
Yeah.
It's best to learn to deal with that piece of glass and see you made a mistake and don't get angry. But once you're angry with it, that image gets stuck in your mind. And with post-traumatic stress disorder, you know, the image of a boy like the gentleman who spoke the other night, he was a medic and saw a boy coming in, viscerated, his bowels all open, couldn't get rid of it. And that is just one thing. But up to that point, there were many other things, but that's the final straw that broke the camel's back. In other words, post-traumatic stress disorder is all the things they did up to it are preparatory, meaning there are things that happen in your life that prepare you to enable the enemy to get to you in the end. Something will do it if you don't learn to overcome resentment towards your enemies. Doesn't mean you have to love them or like them, embrace them, but don't hate them, and they can't get to you. Don't resent. Don't be upset with them. But this power does not lie with you as a human being. It's a gift. It comes from being still and not running, not trying to struggle and figure it out for yourself. It's not figure outable. 866 Radio Roy. Call my office, please, tomorrow, will you? And let's see. And the website is 866. Show numbers. I'm getting a little confused here. Show numbers are 50-50-49 and 50-50. And the office number is 866 Radio Roy. Therefore, I got it, and FHU.com.
The program you are hearing has been made possible by listeners like you. For over 40 years now, Roy Masters has been searching the airwaves for those ready to enact a positive, lasting change in their lives. His no-nonsense, direct approach cuts straight to the heart of his listeners' problems and saves them years of therapy and medications. His prison ministry enables lost souls to regain control of their lives and become productive members of society. And don't forget the many children who have benefited from their parents' understanding of Roy Masters' teachings. If you have been helped by this program, please help us to help others by making a regular donation to the Foundation of Human Understanding. However small, every little bit helps. Just call our office between 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time and ask about our convenient auto-debit program. The number is 800-877-3227. Without you, none of this could have been made possible. Thank you for your continued support.
Are you looking for timeless insights on forgiveness, relieving stress, and finding true faith and love? You want to find out what's at the root of marriage problems, family conflicts, success and failure? Roy Masters can help you with life issues, spirituality, and healing. Visit FHU.com today. Order classic Roy Masters videos, now on DVD. Sign up for new insights, Roy's monthly newsletter featuring articles, news, and sage advice. Browse Roy's books and lectures online, all at FHU.com. And now everyone can enjoy Roy Masters' Sunday conversations. They're personal, enlightening, and always uplifting. For a preview, listen at FHU.com. The Foundation of Human Understanding depends on your tax-deductible financial support for this vital service. Roy Masters and the Foundation of Human Understanding is available to help you now. Just visit FHU.com.